Welcome to The Neutral Ground. This week I'm joined by talented musical artist and actor DC Glenn, known to some of us fans as being one part of the musical group known as Tag Team, with their huge hit, Whoomp, There It Is. However, I suppose to others, DC might be more recognizable today for his acting in one of the most beloved Geico commercials of all time. You know the one I'm talking about, Scoop, There It Is, where Tasha's in the kitchen making food and all of a sudden Tag Team comes in and starts singing their song of ice cream. And at the end, DC yells sprinkles and then throws them all up in the air. And, you know, there's something about that commercial that's just so energetic and positive. And I think it came at just the right time when we needed a kind of boost of positive energy. But as you'll come to learn from my conversation with DC, that commercial was almost something else entirely. We have a lot of different fascinating conversation topics going on in this episode. We talk about the importance of holding on to your motivation in times of great distress, the necessity to keep your goals always in front of you so that you're always moving forward in life towards something. And we discuss one of my favorite topics, imposing order on chaos. You know I love me a good imposing order on chaos discussion. So in the words of the great DC Glenn, party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. DC's in the house. Jump, jump for joy. Well, DC, thank you so much for joining us on The Neutral Ground. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm absolutely excited for this. Mm-hmm. Well, for our younger viewers, they might know you as the gentleman who yells sprinkles at the end of the amazing Geico commercial. And it is my favorite commercial. And as I mentioned to you, I think in my email, you've now given my wife a new term for when anything is awesome, she just yells sprinkles. It's what she does. I mean, could you have any idea that that's how that was going to turn out?
Actually, I did, because I am an actor, right? And being an actor, you prepare. And if I was an actor, I probably would have just walked in there and said, okay, what are we doing? And then we would have just winged it, right? But I had a month to prepare for it. And this is how I do my commercial auditions, because it deals with improv. And I used to struggle with improv, you know, because just being nervous in front of a casting director and whatnot. So I came up with this method of having maybe five or six things in the hole that I practice. So if the director ever says, okay, do your own thing. You got anything? I don't have to think about it. I already have it prepared, right? So I kind of took the same approach with the Geico commercial, because at first it was supposed to be Soup, There It Is. So my preparation, I'm looking through Seinfeld episodes trying to find the Soup Nazi episode, but they called me back. It's like, no, we're going to do Scoop, There It Is, ice cream. And what made that special for me is that my father used to make us ice cream when we were kids. And we had, you know, we would put the ice and get it ready, put the ice in the rock, salt in the silk bucket, and he'd put the eggs, vanilla, and whatever else in the cylinder. And then me and my brother would churn, you know, for 20 minutes. And then you got two kids eating ice cream. And that's the essence that I wanted to bring to that commercial. So I prepared, and fast forward the night before the commercial, we have our big meeting with the producer and the director. And I was like, I got a couple of ideas. You mind if I run them by you? It's like, anything you want to do, DC. The more ideas, the merrier. And, you know, I was like, I've tried to find somebody to fabricate a spinning scoop, but I couldn't. He's like, it'll be done tomorrow. I'm like, whoa. And I was like, I know kids love sprinkles. I don't know why, but we got to have tons of sprinkles. Like, DC, we'll have a truckload of sprinkles for you. And I just went down my list and we shot everything. They could have did five Geico commercials with what we shot. And the next day, it was a tag team party, right? And we had so much fun on that set and they couldn't believe our energy. But I'm like, that's what we do. We're party people, right? That's the essence of it all. And just, I knew that it would be good with those nuances because people can relate, right? But on December 26th, midnight, when it dropped, my phone hasn't stopped ringing, right? And this is Christmas Day. You know, Christmas Day at night, midnight, you know, I'm like, what is this? And that was just a YouTube campaign. It hadn't even dropped on television yet. So, you know, I am very happy with how it turned out. And what's the most important is that, you know, this is not just us having a Geico commercial. This is an opportunity. And I was thinking, well, this opportunity might go by the wayside because we're in a pandemic. And I'm telling you, it was like, what am I going to do? What can I do to take advantage of this situation? So I was like, I know what I could do. I could hire a publicist for acting and voiceover and blow up this commercial at the same time. But then the publicists were all, we're working from home. We don't know what to do. We've never done a Geico commercial. This is weird. I was like, okay. And, you know, this is DC, the brain supreme, you know, at his best. Because when somebody tells me I can't do something, or someone tells me, you know, that it can't be done or it's not the traditional way, or I get stuck, I join an organization, society, or association. And I'm like, I'll be my own dang publicist. And I joined the Public Relations Society of America. It's called PRSA. And 2 days in, I'm on the Zoom cast. And I raised my hand. I'm like, our press release is still relevant. And they're like, well, what's it for? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of featured in a national Geico commercial called Scoop. There it is. I said it real slow. And then I'm looking at the chat on the Zoom call. And it's like, wait a minute, what's he doing here? He can't, that can't be, that's not him. Wait a minute. It is him. Oh my God, I love that commercial. My kids love that commercial. My blew up the entire Zoom call. Now the whole Zoom call is about me, right? And the moderator is like, okay, back to DC's questions. Our press release is relevant. And, you know, the guest that day was the CEO of a big PR firm. And she was like, of course it is, especially now. Because the whole last year has been COVID. The whole last year has been political. Everybody's been fighting, you know, like cats and dogs. And here you guys come throwing sprinkles, spinning scoops, dancing, bringing joy to the world. And DC, you'll smile. She said, of course that press release is going to work. And you're going to go here for all the journalists. You're going to go here for all the podcasts. You're going to go here for all the TV talk shows. You're going to go here for, you know, all the publicists. And you're going to make sure your pitches are like this. And she gave me the entire breath of her experience as a publicist in 10 minutes. And it's changed my life forever. And I have not looked back. It has opened doors for me unimaginable. And it is the reason that you and I are talking right now, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to, any opportunity you get in life, you have to make the most of it, right? So if I had just walked up and been like, I got a Geico commercial, it would have been over. But now, you know, the Geico commercial's back. We were grand marshals at the 2021 Talladega 500. And last week we just launched Tag Team Ice Cream.
Yes.
Geico, right? So that proves that hard work, hustle, never giving up, tenaciousness, steadfastness, all those things are true because I practiced them all my life. And this is, whoop, there it is, it's 28. Year in existence, and it is still here in a bigger and better way than I could have ever imagined. So in a nutshell, that's the Geico commercial, but basically the Geico commercial was just fun, man. It's just, it brings joy to people. Everybody needed it. It was like the world needed that at this time, or America did. Yes. And now it is the encore of our concerts. And it is the best part of the show. Just everybody singing along to the commercial for 30 seconds. It is unreal.
Yeah. And you mentioned the energy. And I was going to bring that up myself because mm-hmm. not even just you two, but all of the actors mm-hmm. involved in that commercial, the smiles. And when the father comes in the room, his face is perfect. It's just perfect.
What the hell?
Yeah, what is going on? And yes. When he just jumps into the dance, you cannot help but smile at the beautiful smiles in that room and the energy of just joy. You really can't. And
everybody, I tried to find fault, and no. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't. The only thing I found was that me pointing at the ice cream, I was like a tenth of a second off, and I'll take it. right? You know, that's because you're your worst critic, but they put, you know, we worked hard along with the act, you know, Nikki Carr, Amethyst Williams was the young girl, and Anthony Goolsbee, the dad. You know, they're all in the same improv troupe, right? And they didn't even, they're really successful actors in Atlanta. They had no idea that each other was auditioning for that. And I had no idea that they were auditioning extra people. People were calling me like, man, you got a senior, got an audition for your new commercial. I'm like, what? Really? And it's like, yeah, man, we, you got an inside? I really need that commercial because see, this is a national SAG commercial, which means it's very lucrative, right? And everybody in the city wanted to be in it. I got so many calls and I was like, I don't have nothing to do with it. And they picked the right ones, right? The casting worked perfectly. And we're all friends. I mentor them and we all try to make each other better. So the beautiful relationships that have come from this will last a lifetime because I've got relationships with the Martin Agency who put it together. I got relationships with Geico. And Geico, you know, there's another side of it. You have to let people see you hustle. You have to let people see your creativity. You have to let people see your professionalism on display so they know that they picked the right one. And if they know they picked the right one, they will ride you till the wheels fall off. And that's what I'm hoping for. So, I mean, not too many people get to do two Geico commercials back to back, right? And, you know, I've got five pitches for new commercials. So I'm not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. This is going to be good in the future. So, I mean, and plus all the other things I'm doing. I mean, it's just bananas, but that's the crowning jewel.
Well, I'm curious. You mentioned that improv was hard at first. What was it that was difficult for you?
Well, first of all, you're in front of a casting director and he's telling you what to do. So you're just nervous already. You got nerves already, especially I only started acting in 2017. You know, we all have dreams of being an actor. We all have dreams of getting on that stage and accepting the Oscar and all that. But I never really pulled the trigger because I'm in Atlanta. And Atlanta just, you know, in the last 10 years, they recently became the hub for acting. Now it's just pretty much, they shoot more movies here than they in Hollywood, right? So now I audition 3-4 times a week, right? Mm-hmm. And that's fun. But I'm glad I went through improv because improv is the ability to be spontaneous and to just be an entertainer at the same time. So I already had that being a DJ. I already had that being an entertainer, but improv made it better, right? But still, when I get in front of casting directors, even to this day, I still get nervous. So I have to combat that with, I'll look at the script, I'll look at what it's about, and I'll come up with 5 or 6 things, even if it doesn't matter, even if it has nothing to do, even if they don't go there, at least I have them where they say, well, show us something, you got something different. Then I could just be like, boom, and I'm there. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to like, okay, what am I going to do now? Oh my God. And I was like, dang, I wish I could do that over, right? And when I found out that worked, I booked a National Pizza Hut commercial. And I knew I was confident. That's the first time I did this. I was confident when I went in. I did what they wanted. And then the director said, now, can you kind of do your own thing? Do one the way you guys want to do it. And I whispered in the young lady's ear, that was my wife in the commercial. And I said, you remember the bump dance? We're going to do that, right? That's one of the things I had prepared. And it was for a piece of a commercial where it's March Madness. And they had the crust where you dunk it into the sauce. And then you do a celebration dance because you got a dunk, right? And they had us doing all the regular. But I was like, we got to do something. We got to add a little extra flavor to this. And we did the bump dance. We was bumping elbows. And it was just, I could see it in their eyes. Their eyes got big. And then 3 days later, it's like, DC, you just booked your first national commercial, right? And then 2 weeks later, DC, you just lost your first national commercial because it's the beginning of the pandemic. But I was not mad at all. I was so happy because all that hard work paid off. That's the best gratification in the world, to know that all your efforts mean something.
Yeah.
And that's what that was about. And now I'm a better actor than ever, right? You know, the pandemic for me was the best thing that ever happened to me. I promise you, because the other side is the other side, right? You know, people, why could you say that? And I was like, because that side is that side. We all know that side. But what are you going to do, right? Because for me, you know, it made everybody stop at the same time. And everybody had to reevaluate. And we were all in the Serengeti together, right? What are you going to be, predator or prey, right? It's rough. It's survival. Can't do shows, can't do this, can't do that, but I can do this, right? And I reinvented myself with voiceover. And I went back and every class I've ever taken, I recorded. I started voiceover in 2008, and it was hard. And I thought it was my teacher's fault, but it was, you know, I thought I could just whoop, there it is, my way through anything. It was my hubris, right? And I had to go back and listen to myself talk 10 years ago in conversations. It was just heartbreaking because I realized that the only thing stopping me was me. And at the same time, it was, you know, it was inspirational because I didn't quit, because I became an actor, because I kept training. I understood what they were trying to teach me. I said, I could do this first one over, because the first one just made the hairs on my arm just, ugh. And I did that first script over, and it was angelic, because for the first time in my life, I had mastery over my voice. And back in March of 2020, when we all thought we were going to turn into zombies and start eating each other, I was in here grinding, organizing all these just like 42-hour sessions. And I went through each one, took notes, and reinvented myself. And then I started booking instantly, because back then it was like, it's all about COVID. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all in this together, right? Yeah. It was that voice. And I'm like, hey, that's me. Started booking. Then I get a call from my agent. And I'm going to get a call from my coach in LA, my acting coach in LA, DC. We got a movie in that we're casting in Nebraska. You gotta, you know, you can get to Nebraska. How you feel about flying in a pandemic? I was like, I got a hazmat suit. I'll be there. Shot my first movie called My Corona, about the first weeks of the coronavirus, and a documentary on shooting a movie in a pandemic. I did this just for footage. Now, this documentary and this movie are winning film festival awards all over the world.
Wow.
Right? Then I get my second opportunity to do a movie called The Mediator. It's in South Georgia. Now that's getting best director and movie festivals, right? I'm like, whoa. Then I booked the national campaign, not national, but a campaign for Publix fall campaign. And then I booked a Tyler Perry House of Pain episode. And then my agent calls me and says, DC, you booked a Geico commercial. And I was like, Lena, don't play with my emotions. We're in the middle of a pandemic. That is not, don't do that. I haven't even auditioned for a Geico commercial. And she was like, DC, they wanted tag team. I was like, oh, got it. So I went and checked the tag team phone, because I got the tag team hotline. And there was the message. But the thing is, and there's a backstory to this. 2011, I'm DJing in the clubs and I get a call. DC, there's a girl on the phone. She want to talk to you. She will not get off the phone. I was like, take a message. She will not get off the phone, DC. I'm like, man, which one of these girls I done? All right, go to the front. Lady's like, hey, I'm a reporter. I need to talk. I was like, look, call me in the morning. So she called me on a Sunday. It was a reporter for the New York Times. And she was like, have you read the Gawker article? Remember Gawker?
Yeah.
Back in the day, she said, everybody thinks Barack Obama was in your video. I'm like, what? Yeah, DC. And then all of a sudden, we're doing ABC, NBC, Stephen Colbert Show, Jeannie Most from CNN. We're doing all this stuff all week. And I was upset because I had nothing to show for it. No money in my pocket, no new opportunities, because they had all passed me by, because I didn't have a web presence. And I didn't, you know, social media was just starting to get a grip on everything. And in life, especially mine, when traumatic things like that happen, I never look at the glass as half empty. I look at it as half full. And I take it on myself as an opportunity to say, that will never happen again. And that's what started my SEO career, search engine optimization, the ability to get on the first page of Google, the ability to do all the things you want to do to position yourself to where you can be seen in front of the people that need you. And back then, you type in tag team, it was all wrestling. You type in tag team today, it's all tag team. So back to the Geico story, Geico typed in tag team, DC Glenn, or tag team, the first thing comes up is our IMDb. My IMDb portal goes straight to the People Store agency, which is my agency for acting. And now, a random chance, because I was able to be found, they went to my agent who does commercials, movies, film, TV, print, and is the biggest in the Southeast. I let them make the deal. I don't have to get lawyers. I don't have to do nothing. And it is the biggest, most lucrative deal I've ever made in my life.
You know what I love about this? And my audience will appreciate it because I talk about narrative a lot and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about my teaching as well. Just yesterday in the classroom, actually, I teach at the University at Albany. Mm-hmm. I was giving my students an exercise to do. And it was two challenges. One was critical thinking about a particular topic, but I was also challenging them to impose order on chaos.
Oh.
Trying to figure out, I gave them somewhat vague directions on purpose,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted them to figure it out together. How are you going to get to the end of this assignment? Your first challenge is you got to talk. Oh, you got to figure out what you know, what you don't know.
Oh, my God.
And you've got to impose order on that chaos. And what I love about what you said is, For improv for you, you went in thinking, I want to have some kind of mechanisms to have some sense of order so that you're never truly dealing in chaos. So you prepare for everything. And I mean, that is perfect. Absolutely perfect way to think about it.
Let me tell you something. I told you that becoming a publicist changed my life forever. One of the reasons, because I do 3 or 4 podcasts a day. The reason I do 3 or 4 podcasts a day, because it's like killing 15 birds with one stone. Voiceover, I'm practicing articulation. I'm practicing diction. I'm practicing storytelling, right? I'm practicing analogies. I'm practicing how to explain things to people in different forms of where they're at, what region they're from. Right? I'm adapting. I'm getting curveball questions and being able to knock them out of the park. I'm inspiring. I'm motivating. I'm also teaching. I'm also giving back. I'm also doing all of these things that are gifts to humanity because they've been gifts to me. Right? And my mission is just to talk to young people or anybody about the things I wish someone had talked to me about when I was a young man. And it's funny because when you say chaos, people come to me all the time. See, this is, you know, I'm different because I think I have a bizarro world type of thinking in a positive way, right? Because people will come to me with their problems and I'm like, okay, what's the solution? What? They're so busy telling me all their problems, they can't even tell me the solution. They haven't even thought about the solution. And I'm like, what do you want? This is the one thing I ask people. Simple. What do you want or what's the solution? And they're like, what? I'm like, what? I said, you don't know what you want? And I'm like, and I said, okay. They'll tell me what they want. And I said, no. Go higher. Tell me what you really, really want. And this is what I do. for solutions and things that I want. I think pie in the sky, fantastical, far-fetched. And I'm like, okay, that's out there. But what if you inch your way back a little bit? That's still far away. But that's a path. Well, I'm actually doing that now. So maybe if we add this to it, we can do that and then do this, but it's still kind of far away. Well, if you come back here, hey, I might be able to do that in about 2 months. Wait a minute, I'm doing this right now. And what you've done is you worked your way back to practicality, right? And then you have just created a reverse business plan with a stepladder to your goals and dreams, right? And I'm like, that's all you got to do. So now, and then I switched it even. I said, look, I love when people tell me problems. I love when people give me excuses, because if you just giving me an excuse, you're just giving me an opportunity to come up with 5 solutions that I could put in my toolbox and use later. You tell me a problem, you've just given me opportunity to figure it out, put it in my toolbox and use it for later, right? So everybody, if people will say, keep the negative people away from you. Sometimes most negative people in your life are the people you love. So what you gonna do about that? And I tell everybody, you better keep everybody negative to you, because they're offering you solutions. You're learning from them what not to do and what not to be. Bizarro world.
Yeah.
Right?
And you love the grind too, which is because so many times people look at the grind as like the least important or the least enjoyable part.
But they look at the grind as the grind.
Exactly. Right? You have to learn the opportunity of the grind, what that's offering you, because the grind is where you actually build up those skill sets so that when that opportunity is there, you can really jump on it in a lot of ways.
Hey man, I tell people all the time, you know, people, you know, it's funny because when we're having these conversations, people are like, so this is the one question that everybody always, not everybody, but this is one of the most popular questions. So what do you think about this day and age of hip hop? You know, what do you think about how these kids have done messed up hip hop? Or what do you think about the new generation? And I'm like, I don't think nothing. I was like, see, you already at a disadvantage trying to blame young people for the things that you do or the things that you haven't done. Right? Like, you know, this new generation, all they care about is instant gratification. I'm like, the middle generation, old generation, the older generation do too. This ain't new. Everybody want it quick, right? And then I break it down and I said, look, this is my best analogy. You do not plant a seed in fertile soil. Sit down. I say, okay, seed, grow. Grow seed. Will you please grow seed? Man, the seed don't work, I quit. How many people we know like that?
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that you don't know how long that seed's going to take to grow. You plant that seed and you keep it moving. I play offense. If LeBron James shoots 30 shots and misses, he's going to quit? No, he's going to shoot 60 more. Is he going to quit? No. He's going to shoot more and then he's going to make a shot. He's going to make another shot, and then he's going to win 6 championships. You got to just take your emotions out of it, because there is no quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. I'm taking this real estate course, so I'm going to be rich without that real estate course. Well, it wasn't for me. There is no quid pro quo. You do these things and keep it moving, right? Mm-hmm. And all my life, people would be like, DC, you're a jack of all trades, master of none, because I'm a hustler. I'm always doing something different. And I'm like, okay, but if you work hard enough, hustle hard enough, and, you know, learn how to learn.
Yes.
You become masterful at some of those trades, and they all come back to serve you in ways that you had never intended them to. Right? Example, if I get a long email, two sentences in, I'm daydreaming. Learn how to learn. Okay, well, let me throw it in the AI and let the AI read it back to me. Now it catches my ear. Oh, now I'm reading along with it. The AI is reading. We're retaining all this information. Now I know exactly what needs to be done. Learn how to learn. The example of joining an organization. That's learn how to learn. You join an organization, they're full of people that have been doing this forever. And they got the resources. A lady from my high school, went to school, me at high school, said, called me, is like, DC, what is your message for the class of 2021? I was like, how much time you got, right? And she was like, if you could just tell yourself one thing. I was like, whatever it is you want to do, join an organization, go to that website, and you're going to see a list of all the organizations of the same thing. Pick up the phone and call them and say, why should I join your organization? And ask as many questions as you can, because what people don't realize is that professionals can't wait to talk about what they do to people who want to listen.
Yeah, because it gives us an opportunity to practice as well, right?
I learn more from talking. I'm hashing things out. I'm coming up with new ideas. I'm coming up with new analogies, doing different ways to say things to people. It is also helping. Everything I do is helping my song making. It's helping my craft. It's helping everything, because I get to figure out things that I might be intended for this. When it's like, wait a minute, that works for that. Just because I'm hashing it out. Right now, you know, and this is the one thing that the pandemic did for me. I said, I do not want to leave this earth regretting something I didn't do that I wanted to do. So now I got tutors for everything. Got tutors for music theory. Got tutors. I'm still a great music producer and all that, but the creativity is better than ever, but it has to catch up to the technology.
Yeah.
So I tutor every Tuesday with one of the engineers of the DAW that I use in Germany. And instead of me, he just teaching me, it's like, no. We can't, because a lot of teachers try to do that. I'm going to teach you this way, the traditional way. I'm like, that's not going to work for me. I'm too busy. I said, what I need you to do is we work according to my workflow through the program. So if I got a voiceover audition, okay, tell me, if my mic set up the right way? Can I set up my mic better? How is it supposed to sound? What is the thing there? Okay, cool. Well, I'm trying to make this little show tape. How do I get this to mix it down and mix it better and mix it? Well, how do I do this and do that? Because all these things are in my workflow that are everyday events. And now I am masterful at that piece of software in 6 months.
Yeah, because you have the connections, all those wonderful connections you made.
I'm inching my way back to making songs again. And people are like, you're going to make songs again? I'm like, yeah, I can't. You're going to be an artist? I'm like, no, I'm not going to be an artist. I will never be an artist again, right? Because, you know, there's so many opportunities to make songs for things. You've got jingles. You've got movies. You've got Christmas. If I make a Christmas song, right, and then I go out and say, hey, everybody, DC the Brain Springs made a Christmas song. Please like my song. Everybody's going to look and be like, you know what? We should have stopped at that Geico commercial. He really need to sit his old ass down. Right? But if you're hearing this commercial in every single Christmas, or you're hearing it in a Christmas commercial that you like from an ad agency, somebody's going to be like, I love that song. Who is that? That's DC from Tag Team. Man, he's still making money. Which response would you rather have?
Yeah.
It's all strategic. So that's why I love your questions to your class about how you get chaos.
Yeah.
You work together. It's so perfect, because I struggle to find writers for my content, because I can't do everything, but I can learn everything. But then I learn everything so I can build a team off of it. And I could teach them, but then teaching people that think they know what they do and not don't have the ability to shapeshift and adapt does me no good. So I have to this is how bad it is. I have to get 10 writers. I have to pay 10 writers to write the same thing just to get pieces to put it all together, because nobody can do it in one shot, because only I know what I want to write. I can write it down and they'll still botch it because they get excited because they're, you know, they get excited because they're, you know, with tag team. And it's like, they just throw the kitchen sink in. I'm like, no, that's not what I wanted. I told you what I wanted. But then what I did to remedy that, because that's chaos for me. Yeah. I said, okay, let me find a publicist. And I said, you know, and I found a publicist. She's in the PRSA and she's good at writing. And I said, hey, I'll pay you just to write. I don't care about the publicist stuff. I want you just to write. And she did the same thing. I said, okay, this is what we're going to have to do. I asked you to write, and I asked you if you had questions, call me. You didn't, because this is another thing. You cannot be in your emotions. You just can't. And I tell people I love to be wrong, because one, for a man, it kills your pride and it kills your ego. When you can say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. Inside, you're like, ah! Right. But after a while, it kills your pride and it kills your ego. But what it also does is opens your mind to every possibility. You're not blinded now. And being wrong is the path to being right. Mm-hmm. And you'll never be wrong at that again. So now I go to the young lady. I said, okay, what's your schedule? Like, can you work? Can we do 5-10 minutes every day on a Zoom call? I said, we're gonna do a paragraph at a time. And in a week, I wrote the most magnificent web page ever created. SEO perfect, schema perfect, Wikidata, Wikipedia, perfect, because we collaborated.
Mm-hmm.
I will pay you to teach you to do it for me, because in the long run, now she knows how to write for me. And we can spend 5-10 minutes a day and get more done than it would take me 6 months to get one page done, right? So, but it's also making me better, because I figured out a way to write better, right? So I've sequestered all that chaos into a format that I can take to every publicist, because they just do a flat fee. So I'm gonna find everybody who does all the things in one, because they all say we can do it all. But what happens is people are not satisfied. It's like, well, what is your value? Because you said you're a publicist and I don't see anything happening, because they're trying to do everything. I don't need you to do everything. I need you to do one thing that's in your wheelhouse, and I'll pay you for doing it on scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
You break it down in lanes. You break it down. Now I can flourish, because now I can send letters to all the ice cream companies and pitch them. I can make pitches for ad agencies for the ideas I have. I can do everything in my creative mind that I'm hampered by being only one person in a way that is so fluid,
mm-hmm.
that my future is bright. Because people ask me, you say, DC, well, what do you want? And I'm like, I want it all. I had a big meet with my agents. They're like, DC, what do you want? I was like, you guys do a great job for me. I'm humble. DC, what do you want? What kind of roles? I'm like, you guys do a great job for me. And this one phrase changed my life. Lena said, this was in January. She said, DC, what is your bucket list? And I was like, oh, that's a different question, right? I said, I want to be in The Mandalorian. I want to be in the Star Wars universe, live action or animation. And then, you know, this was right before the press release. I dropped that press release on a Wednesday of the Super Bowl. The next day, I get a call from the Dan Patrick Show. The Dan Patrick Show says, we need y'all on Super Bowl Friday. I'm on the Dan Patrick Show national TV Super Bowl Friday because of a press release. Right? And not only that, you have to let people see you hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the national TV and I'm like, yeah, I'm working on being in The Mandalorian and the Star Wars universe. So George Lucas and Dave Leone, if you're listening, you need to come holler at me. Now, I don't expect nothing of that, but I threw it out there. because you never know. It might be somebody like, hey man, the scoop there, the sprinkles guys was talking about wanting to be in the Mandalorian. And we, you know, John Favreau, my kids love that commercial. Call his agent. You never know how it's going to happen, but you can go through these scenarios in your head. And then that makes it worth it to throw it out there. And then I also knew that Geico's listening because this was big. And they got to make sure that we don't mess up their brand by talking stupid, right? And I'm like, okay, let me see how much they really listen. I said, yeah, we're about to do a serious tag team challenge on TikTok. So be listening for it, everybody. 2 days later, hey, DC, yeah, Gaka wanted to know what that tag team TikTok challenge is all about. They want to get behind that. You listening. Now I get to impose my will. Now it's about my creativity. Now I get to influence. I get to inspire. I get to let them see me hustle without me letting them see me hustle, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not thirsty. I'm not asking them for anything. I'm just letting it be known that this is what I want. This is what I want to do. And I'm the right man for it in a way that is not invasive, right? So, you know, that is me in a nutshell. In all my life, I have dealt with it like that, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, going back to the I love being wrong, being right. I forgot where we were. I just don't went off on a tangent, but it's all relevant because these are the things you've got to go through in your mind to solve that chaos mm-hmm. and work together. Because the whole point was you want everybody to work together. Now me and my publicist are working together every day, 5-10 minutes. I'm making her better. She's making me better. Now we're solving all of our problems, not just with writing, but everything that comes our way.
Yeah. And you have to, and people appreciate someone who has a vision.
Oh yeah.
You have to have a vision.
That's why, what do you want?
Absolutely. If you don't know what you want. Yeah. The whole idea. And you build a criteria for how you get there. So mm-hmm. you say, this is my intention. This is what I want. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get there? Well, guess what? You have to build that still. You have to figure out what do I need to work on? What do I need to get better at? Mm-hmm. What are my weaknesses? Yep. And then build that narrative with that vision of success at the end already there. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you could be teaching my class right now. This is exactly the whole thing. You're absolutely right.
And then, and see, and we both know that. So now the challenge is, how do you infiltrate this? What are the analogies you can use? What are the metaphors you can use? What is the poetry? What is the flow? What is the expression? What is the entertainment value to get to this, right? Mm. And people are like, you need to write a book. You need to do this. No, I give it away because you give what you want first. And, you know, I have to do that because there are so many people that are running through life blind. They got the hustle, but like, you know, just like being in a pandemic. You know, you think you're hustling. I'm a hustler. How many people is like, I'm a hustler. I do this. I put in work. I do this. Yeah, but you driving and you going 100 miles an hour, but you look outside and you're not going nowhere. Wait a minute. I'm revving the engine. Then you realize you're stuck in mud. Your wheels are just spinning your wheels, right?
Yeah.
And that is the thing that just hampers most people. You got to know what you want, and you have to be willing to plant those seeds and forget about them. I planted the womp, there it is, seed 30 years ago, and now that seed is a redwood tree. That ain't going nowhere. If it gets burnt, it's just going to burn on one side and grow back. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I realized that 10 years out from 93, when I'm sitting in the movie theater watching Will Ferrell dance on the table to Elf. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got a forever hit record. And then I'm like, now it is up to me to hustle my own money. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we were in a lawsuit. We were in a, well, not a lawsuit, but a 20-year legal battle. And at the beginning of that legal battle, I could have been like, man, forget this. I could have became what, like most artists do, old and bitter. but I never look at the glass half empty. I look at it half full. I'm like, okay, they're both fighting each other, these record companies over the rights. And I'm the pawn in the middle. Let me play chess. Let me basically become a paralegal and watch what they do, watch what they do. And I had all the paperwork because they used to give it to me at the record company. I'd send it to my mom in a FedEx box. I'm about to carry around all those papers. And it was in a trunk. And now I organize it. And that's just called discovery. Had it organized. And then I learned what motions were. I learned how to get a trial date. I learned how to do all these things in the legal world. And then what the most important thing is I learned the language because it was a traumatic event. And I said, that will never happen to me again. So I learned how to learn it in an indirect way by doing paralegal stuff for 15 years. Then we got our day in court. I found a lawyer, gave her a big box of discovery. And to save me half the cost on my legal fees, and she created 5 different ways for us to prevail, and we prevailed at a cost, because, you know, you go to war, you lose an arm, you lose a leg, come back with an eye patch, but we were finally out of that. And that's a weight off of you. And I never complained about that lawsuit. I never complained about, you know, not being able to get the money that I'm supposed to get, right? I never complained about it because I knew I had a forever hit record. It's up to me. Nobody will ever give you anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to give you anything. You have to hustle. I mean, I attribute all this to my parents because I have been stemming collard greens and shucking peas since I was 5 years old. My parents made me work. My brother worked like a dog, wash cars, cut the grass, mow the lawn, shovel the snow. You know what I'm saying? Wash mm-hmm. the windows, wash the clothes, cook dinner, right? And I'm so grateful because I think I was 9 years old, the blizzard of 83, 2 feet of snow. We're the only family that got a snowblower. We do ours. Mr. Grant is struggling next door. I go do his. We do the whole block because we're just kids playing in snow. Then me and my brother walking home the next week. Hey, boy, come here. It's $25. I appreciate you doing my walkway. And everybody in the neighborhood broke us off. And a hustler was born. Right? And I have worked as a paper boy. I had 4 jobs before I was 15. I love my parents for making me do that because I, under no circumstance ever in life, have ever mm-hmm. feared work.
Yep. Ever. I was cleaning toilets at 12 in an auto mechanic exactly. kind of place.
Ever.
And that taught me so much of humility. Mm-hmm. And I give them credit. I got yelled at if I didn't do a good job.
Amen.
And I would sit there and I'd have to go back and do it again. And so what mm-hmm. does that teach you? Do it right the first time.
Right
the
first time.
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you buck on the system, but the system's there for a reason. You know, and even to fast forward to today, people, the traditionalists that I give my ideas to, they're like, DC, you can't do everything. You can't. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I can't do everything, but I sure enough can be prepared for everything. They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And what they don't realize is the thing that they just disapproved of, they now approve of, said in a different way, because preparation is doing everything. What? So, and the genesis, you know, I love doing these because we hadn't even talked about Whoop, There It Is, nor do we need to, because this is more important. Everybody knows I've done Whoop, There It Is. Everybody knows. But how do I keep it going? That's the important stuff. I asked my voiceover coach, I was like, why are people riveted when I talk to them? Because you're not telling people stuff out of a book. You're telling people stuff you've done. He said, you're so inspiring because every time you tell me something, 2 months later, it happens. You come up with an idea, 3 months later, it's now in motion. And I'm like, I don't notice it because I'm me. I do notice it, but I don't. And it's challenging and it's hard. And I tell everybody, this is not easy. It's never easy. It's never going to get easy. But it does get better.
Yeah. And if it does get easy, if it does get easy, I'm sure you probably, like others, you feel uncomfortable to a degree. Like, shouldn't I be doing something? Something should be challenging me.
I can't go on vacations because I always feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. That always will be with me, right? My mind is always thinking of a new innovative way to solve a problem. I'm an inventor of life. Not of mechanical things or anything, but I'm an inventor of solutions that just get you to the next level, and that's what DJing did for me for 30 years. I'm in them clubs and the DJ booth is, I'm a hustler because I'm working in strip clubs. So strip clubs to me is like that game show where you get in the cylinder and they got all those money flying around and you grab as much as you can in a minute. That was work for me every night. So I sold stuff out of DJ booth. I'd be selling mixtapes. I'd be selling hand fans. I'd be selling sick. I'd be selling everything. And I'd walk out with a ton of money every single night. And people would watch me and they'd be like, man, he'd be hustling. And they'd be like, I like that hustle. Let me try to take it. And they'd be like, haha, I got your hustle. And I'd be like, go ahead. I'll give you my blessing because this is my next hustle. Catch me if you can. You better have 10 hustles in the hole. Right. And I tell people that, that's the approach I take to had to jobs. It was like, okay, I'm not just your DJ. I'm your light tech. I'm your sound tech. I do your flyers. I do your graphics. I do your voiceover. I do your television commercials. I do your radio spots. I do the fast photography. I get your girls in magazines. I made your business plan to become your marketing director. And you dropped me a check for $25,000. What did I just do? I made myself invaluable, right? And most people I'm about to do all that extra work. I tell people, if you had a job you hate, flip it and learn what everybody does and learn how to do it well. Learn how to do what your manager does. Learn how to do what your supervisor does because somebody doesn't show up to work one day. I got it.
Yeah.
And now you made yourself invaluable. Not because you're trying to make the company better. You made yourself invaluable because you're trying to make yourself better. So even if they keep you or they let you go, that education is a smooth transition to the next bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just being stuck. I lost my job. What am I going to do? It's that simple. But people don't do it. People want to keep their things and they want to go back. And like the pandemic, if you are sitting there waiting for it to come back the way it used to be, you will be sitting there waiting for it to come back the way it used to be. I'm looking at a new frontier, right? I'm looking at these mountains like, you know what? There's a reason that they say there's gold in them dar hills. Because that's what I'm looking at. And it's up to me to put in the work to extract all this gold out this mountain that is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't see it that way because people keep trying to drive through the rear view mirror. They want to go back to what they had. They want to go back to their comfort. Were you really comfortable? And people are like trying to come up with excuses for why there's a shortage of workers when that there is no excuse. All those workers who thought their lives were good and comfortable realize that they weren't. They say, wait a minute, if the government's giving out free money, this is my chance to live my dream and start my own business. And the smart ones do it. And if you got a good idea, it flourishes. And now you're good. I ain't trying to be no waitress no more. I got my own business. I will be mad and unhappy doing my own thing. But you're not, because you're happy because you're doing your own thing and you're trying to figure it out. So, I mean, it's just, I love the way I think. They call me DC the Brain Supreme for a reason. They've been calling me this since I was 17 years old, right? How can I ever, and it's funny because my friends would be, they'd be like, I'm trying to find a job, man. I can't find a job. Another learn how to learn tactic. I said, so how many places did you go to? Man, I only went to three, but I was like, three? How long did it take me, man? Half the afternoon. I was like, dude, I can get you a job in about 5 minutes. No, you can't. It's like, bring them yellow pages over there. For them kids don't know what a yellow pages is, it's like a computer in a big giant yellow book with every business in it with the addresses and their phone numbers. I said, where you want to work at? What kind of work you want to do? Restaurant. All right. Hey, how you doing? Are you guys accepting applications? No, not now. All right, thank you. Hey, how are you doing this afternoon? I was just wondering, can I come out and fill out an application? We're fully staffed right now. Okay, thank you. Hey, how you doing? Can I come fill out an application or are you hiring? Man, this girl just quit. You come today, you got a job. Boom. There you go, bro.
Yeah.
Think about it, man. All you gotta do is go type in Google Maps and call everybody and ask them what they need. That's SEO, right? People are like, I do SEO, I do this, I do that. You know, people want to do social media marketing and all this. And I'm like, okay, so if you were looking for you, what would you type into Google? Huh? I said, if you were looking for you, what would you type into Google? They can't even tell me. And I'm like, you're spending all this time because you want people to like you. Your emotions are in it. And you're trying to get thousands of followers because your emotions are in it. And those followers aren't going to do anything for you. But if you know what you are, and you know that this is the service that I provide, there are people out there at this moment in time need that service. So therefore, if you know what you would type into Google, if you're looking for yourself, you don't need thousands of people. All you need is 10. That's SEO. People are trying to do too much. They're looking, everybody wants, it's about their likes and about me, instead of this is what I do. Let me find 10 people who need me right now. It's like if you get in a car accident and your leg is broke, you're like, oh my God, call 911. Oh, they're going ambulance right there. That's SEO. Right?
That's a great
example. It's a mirror. It's a mirror, right, to what you do. And I hate to cut this short, and I'll come back because I got a meeting at 10 o'clock. And I just want to thank you for letting me come on here and run my mouth, because I learned more from talking, and this has been a wonderful conversation. To all you students out there, you can find me at DC Glenn ATL or Tag Team Womp, and you're going to find me. And if you got a question, I'll answer it for you. There's always a way. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't do anything, because the only person that's going to ever be able to tell you you can't do anything is you.
Absolutely. Well, this has been an absolute blast for me as well. And it's been a lesson for me and motivating. And I really do appreciate you coming on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to be here. And if you need me, hey, if I'm ever you're in Albany, right?
Yep.
If I'm ever in Albany, I'll come down and talk to your class. You know, I'll come
that would be fantastic.
I'll come down early and I will get in their head, and then you'll see what I really do when I'm in front of people, right? Because when I'm in front of people, it gets, you know, tears start falling out of eyes.
I believe it. I believe it. Well, thank you so much, DC. Again, I really appreciate you joining us.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. And before I go, I've been meaning to get this off my chest the whole conversation, but sprinkles.
Thank you. You just made my wife's day. Thank you.
Take care, man.
Thank you. You too.
All right, man. Later.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with DC. I know I did. It's pretty rare for me to sit and kind of just be in awe of what's happening. But honestly, you know, something that I had to learn, he mentioned the ego and kind of learning when to suppress it. Something that I had to learn was when to just sit down, shut up, and let somebody else talk who can do it better. And certainly nobody could do it better in that moment. I couldn't have said anything that he said any better. So just letting him sit and talk about motivation, talk about the ego, and talk about how do we narrate our vision for success, and how do we build a criteria for how we're going to get there. I mean, these are not simply business lessons. These are lessons for us in life, the type of person that you want to be. If you don't know who you want to be and you haven't built the narrative for what that person looks like or does, then how can you ever know when you arrive there even? Well, that was a fantastic conversation. I absolutely enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. If you did enjoy it, please consider subscribing to the podcast on whichever platform you're currently using to listen to this episode. And head on over to theneutralgroundpodcast.com, where you can leave me either an email at theneutralgroundpodcast@gmail.com, or you can actually leave me an audio message as well, which I love to hear. I've been getting a couple of those with just very kind, very nice comments. Feel free to do so as well. If you don't want me to use it on the show, like some of you have said, you just wanted to say something nice, I really appreciate it. You can certainly say that, you know, at the end of your message. But if you do want me to use it on the show, you know, hit me up with some thoughts about the topic or something that you want us to grapple with together. I would very much appreciate it. Well, until next time, keep one foot firmly planted on the neutral ground and have a great day. I know I will. I mean, sprinkles.